You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today we are looking at the Minnesota Timberwolves and the dynasty outlook of a few players on that team. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Indeed, and let's start by looking at these Timberwolves. And the player I'm going to start with is their first round draft choice, a bloke they traded up for to get, and that is the number 6 overall pick, Jarrett Culver, who it's fair to say has not been good this season. The 284th ranked player in fantasy, despite playing 24 minutes a night, he started and then got benched. 9 points, 3 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 40% from the field, and an absolute abomination, 46% from the free throw line. He struggled shooting in college, there's no doubt about that. He was like a 60%+ free throw guy. The three-point percentage was iffy, but this has been worse than anything that I could have imagined. 30% on the nose for three-pointers, 47% for twos. The high rebound and assist rates that we saw in college haven't come through either. One impressive thing about Culver is the defensive numbers, 1.4 steals per 36, and a more impressive 0.9 blocks per 36. So that gives him some hope, but that horrendous shooting is... it's undealable with. And if you scale that up and see him play 30 minutes, then it becomes even more undealable with. Now, I don't think that he's necessarily going to remain a sub 50% free throw guy or a sub 41% field goal player or a sub 30% three-point shooter. I think there is definitely going to be some improvements there. But will he ever become a 47, 35, 80 guy? I have significant doubts about that. Can he ever get that ball in his hands and be the distributor that his fantasy upside really requires on this team? Probably not. With Towns and with Russell seemingly going to be their pairing for the long term, Culver, it appears, is already not out of the plans, but they started him and went, maybe not. And then they've just built guys around him. Let's start Okogie. Let's start Malik Beasley. Let's trade for Malik Beasley to bring him in. Let's bring in D'Angelo Russell. So where the hell does Culver fit on this team now? Admittedly, defensively, I think he's been pretty solid. I think he can be a good defensive player. But yeah, as you saw when I did my redraft the other day, I didn't have him going at the 6th spot. His PIPM is pretty rough. It's not the worst on the team. In fact, Okogie's is significantly worse than his PIPM overall. And the fact that he's a positive defender is an interesting thing. And that block rate is interesting. So while when I look at Culver, he's been bad this season, there's no doubt about that. There are significant deficiencies on offense, but that doesn't mean that he's always going to stay on this team. If they are committed to Russell and Towns, which it appears they are, and they may not be long-term, but it appears they are now, Culver might get dealt out, and he might go to a team where he gets more ball-handling responsibilities, and he can become a 5-assist-per-game player with 6 rebounds and scoring 17 points with a steal and a block per game, which is all right. Now, getting there is a long way to go. So I do think he's a little bit of a distressed asset in dynasty leagues. I would not be banking on him being a top 50 player. There is still some of that upside available for him if things all come around. But yeah, after the first 60 games of his career, it's been rough. Now, 60 games is 60 games. It's not the be-all and end-all of what Jarrett Culver's going to be. I had these concerns for him, though, heading into the draft. I had concerns of him when he was playing some decent minutes in preseason. The concerns are still there, and they're amplifying. But I do think that he can improve from where he is. It's going to be a long way down the track, and it's all going to come with the shooting, because with the shooting starts to improve, his confidence improves, his minutes improve, the ball handling opportunities improve, whether it's on this team or another one. There is still some upside there. So acquiring him in Dynasty, I think, is worth looking at if you don't have to pay a premium, which you shouldn't have to pay a premium at the moment because of how bad he has been so far this season. The next guy we take a look at is the player who is starting over him currently, Josh Okogie, in his second season. It was a really rough start to the year for Okogie. As I said, his PIPM is bad, a negative 2.08 PIPM. But he has started to get much better over the second part of the season, at the end of the year. Things have improved. His POPM in that time is a negative 1.03. Interestingly, Culver's has gotten worse. This is over the last 14 games, which I think, yeah, around that All-Star break period. Culver's gone to be a team worst in POPM in that time. And Okogie's gone up to being not just not horrible, but yeah, not good also. But it's impressive to see he did turn that around and become a better option as the season continued. Because as I said, he was rough to begin this year. Okogie is still, he's almost a top 180 player despite playing only 25 minutes a night and again struggling so much, under 9 points, but over a steal, 4 rebounds, 43 and impressively 80% from the free throw line for a guy who does have his struggle shooting. He's still only hitting 27% of his threes though, which is not an ideal number pretty obviously. He hit 28% last season. But taking the free throws up, and his last 24 games, he actually got those free throws to 84% on decent volume, and that's something that we can build on. The steals have been okay, but can he ever hit threes at volume? Can he ever do anything outside of get steals and free throws? They're the concerns. But again, impressively, the shooting has turned around. His two-point conversion has been so much better over the back half of the season, giving you some encouraging things to look at when we talk about Okogie, who is still only 21. Yeah, he's only 3 or 4 months older than what Culver is, despite having an extra year of experience. So I think, I said this so many times during the offseason, that if, you know, Okogie and Culver were in the same draft, like, who would have gone higher? If they both got drafted in 2018, like, would they have been as stark differences versus, you know, 18th pick versus 6th pick? I don't think there would have been. Culver stayed that extra year, went into a weak draft and got picked high. Therefore, the expectations on him or the benefit of the doubt goes to him a lot more. Whereas I'm not sure that necessarily should be the case. In terms of looking at Okogie, I think his star upside is much lower than what Culver's is. And I don't think Culver's is that high, but I think he's got at least a higher ceiling. But in terms of looking at floor or belief in getting to that floor or being a solid player, I have more faith in Okogie doing that. I think we've found him to be at least like a 22, 23 minute a night role player who's improved his shooting significantly and can do a little bit of extra offensive stuff than what Culver could do. So I feel better about his floor or median outcome, whereas upside, I probably look at Culver as a better option than Okogie there. I don't think Okogie's ever going to have a top 50 season. I could see him cracking the top 120 if he played 30 minutes a night in the next couple of years. Maybe he could get to the top 100 there, but I'm not all that confident in him getting to that level at this point. In fact, before I talk about the next player, sports, they're done. We know there's no live sports happening really at the moment, apart from the WWE WrestleMania over the last couple of days. Basketball is benched. The pitchers are off the mound. Hockey's done. The Australian football season is on temporary hiatus. But you can stay sane and stay entertained with access to your favorite games like blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. It doesn't matter whether you're out on the front lines or quarantined at home. The fun doesn't have to come to an end with MyBookie. If VO Poker is not your thing, but you still need a fix, they've got you covered with a host of live casino dealers online. That's right, they have professional dealers at their tables, live on site 24/7. MyBookie has also partnered with some of the leading esports brands to bring you wagers on virtual action straight from the court in NBA 2K20, and you can always do your part to make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of shifting odds on political bets. Visit mybookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's the promo code LOCKEDONNBA for 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to receive 150% cash bonus on your first deposit, and you can claim those extra funds all the way up to $750. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. You spin, you win, you get paid with MyBookie. Let's talk about Naz Reid, an undrafted player that when you saw redraft I did the other day of the 2019 draft, he did jump up pretty high. He had that role of starting for Karl Anthony Towns when he's been injured for the second half of the season, and Reid's been impressive. Overall this season, he's the 243rd ranked player, which isn't a great thing, but again, when we're looking at a player who's taken the reins from Towns with his injury, I think he's been impressive. In his starts this season, he's averaged 12-7, 1.2 steals, 1.1 blocks, a 3 a game, almost a triple one player. Now, the 41% shooting is rough. 66 from the line as a starter is rough. And it is also way lower than what he's done as a bench player, where he was 76% from the line. So which one of those is real? I think he can be a mid-70s percent three-point guy. The problem is he is such high usage and he's such a chucker and he's taking so many shots that you worry about where he fits in a team as we move forward. Reed, again, has been impressive during that time on the court, but is he a guy that we want to have a huge amount of reliance on as a starting center in the future? Could he turn into a player, say, like a Rashawn Holmes, who struggled as a backup and then really blew up this season as a starter with the Kings? I reckon there's a decent possibility that he could do that. I'm not totally convinced that that's going to be the case, but his PIPM is relatively positive. I think he can get some pretty big numbers there. And again, he's someone who could have a 2 to 3 year run as a starting center, even similar to a former Wolves center, Gorgui Dieng, who was a really, really good fantasy player for a period of time. He has to be on the right team here, Reed, but I think he's shown enough that he can be a player who's probably got top 60 upside. Getting to that level is hard, and I don't think it'll be a long, long scenario where he's in that area. I don't think he's going to be that player where if he gets to being a starter, that's going to be a 7 year, 8 year run of 30 minutes a night. That just feels like it's going to be tough to expect Reed to be able to do that. But I think he's shown enough for us at the moment that his fantasy upside is there. A triple one player who rebounds at an okay level, not a great level, no doubt, only averaging 9 per 36, but just being not afraid to take shots with some high usage, with some shot blocking, with some three-point shooting. There's enough there with Reed that gets me interested, and his advanced stats are pretty intriguing. I've also liked the play of Jordan McLaughlin, a player who went undrafted the previous season, but I think he's been pretty, I know he's been pretty strong so far this season. He's had starts when players like D'Angelo Russell have been injured or Jeff Teague have been injured. We've seen McLaughlin move into that starting lineup and actually be pretty solid. And in his 20 minutes a game, he's the 184th ranked fantasy player. That's ahead of Okogie, despite playing fewer minutes, Malik Beasley, despite playing fewer minutes, Jake Layman, despite playing fewer minutes, Jarrett Culver, despite playing fewer minutes. So in terms of the Timberwolves and fantasy rankings, he is their fourth best player this season on a per game basis, despite playing under 20 minutes a night. He's only started 2 games, but he's averaged 20 points and 11 assists in that time. He's also shot 67% from the field, which is not a real number. But over the course of the season, in his 20 minutes a game, he's a 49% shooter. Now, I don't fully believe that Jordan McLaughlin can be a 49% shooter long-term, but he was one of those guys that when I went to the Summer League this season and I watched him play for the Wolves, went, okay, this is pretty interesting. Like, he looks pretty good out there. And his G League numbers actually back this sort of stuff up. 2 years in the G League, he shot 55% on twos, an overall field goal percent of 45%. He's hitting 50% overall in his field goals in the G League compared, 49% in the NBA, pretty close. Averaging 17 and 6 with 2.3 steals this season. They are really good numbers. And I think that in terms of him being a long-term backup point guard, I can absolutely see it with McLaughlin. I think he's been really, really solid so far this season in the opportunities he's given, whatever role it is, and even playing alongside D'Angelo Russell at times. I've been really impressed with what Jordan McLaughlin's been able to do. So he's a guy that I think can stick in the NBA. It doesn't matter that he was an undrafted player, but yeah, I think he's found a role as a backup point guard here on this team where this is his role, and I think it's going to be his role as we move forward. Advanced stats are pretty encouraging, so I do like Jordan McLaughlin here in that role. Malik Beasley is an interesting one. He was really, really bad as a member of the Denver Nuggets this season. Really struggled, hashtag contract year. Couldn't get anything going while he was playing. Just nothing was working. Came across to Minnesota, and it was the perfect opportunity for him. Towns was out. D'Angelo Russell was missing a bunch of time, and he really thrived. In the 14 games he has played, he's played 33 minutes a night. He's averaged 21 points per game. He's also shooting a number that is very, very high from the field, 47%. Compare that with when he was in Denver. He was at 39%. He's hitting 43% of his threes, a career number. He's hitting 75% of his free throws. Well, that's actually down from where he was earlier this season. But he doesn't do anything else. Under 2 assists, 0.6 steals. The usage, pretty high as well for him during this time. I'm just going to get that Minnesota usage, 24%. But with no Towns, with D'Angelo Russell out for chunks of that time, how can we trust that for Malik Beasley? And when you're not doing anything else, no rebounds, no assists, no steals, and you're shooting at a career high level during this 14 game stretch, there's a lot of fool's gold here, I think, with Beasley. And I think he can be quite good. I think he's a better prospect than Jarrett Culver is to fit into that role next to Russell, because he doesn't need the ball in his hands. He's still only 23. Can he be a top 80 guy who maybe could top out best case scenario with CJ McCollum? I think that might be even a bit too high for him, because he doesn't get the assist that McCollum does. But can he be a top 70 guy for 4 years? Yeah. But just watch that what he's doing at the moment, which again has been really, really good in these 14 games. He's still not, as a starter, a top 100 player, despite averaging 21 points per game, because he doesn't do anything else. And then when your game is predicated on high scoring and a lot of threes, two big factors in usage, and then that usage has to come down because Towns returns, because Russell gets more shots, where does it go from there? So I'd absolutely be considering him a sell high player, especially if Culver improves. And they go, well, we need to play Jarrett Culver 28 minutes a night, so Beasley goes from 33 to 29. And then he loses more shots. He goes from 23 usage to 20 usage. And all of that stuff is going to be pretty rough, I think, when we look at his overall value as we move forward. That's the concern that I have with him. The steal rate, I think, is artificially low in Minnesota. He's been better than this number at all points in his career, so I expect that to go up. But he's still rough defensively. His PIPM has not been good at all during his time here in Minnesota. He's, let's have a look, in his 14 games in Minnesota, a negative 2.66 defensive PIPM is shitful. A negative 1.56 overall is terrible. If we look at Beasley's on-off, a negative 5.9 in luck-adjusted on-off is really, really bad. They are all concerns. It's small sample, no doubt about that, but I really worry about the defensive stuff with him and what the hell else is he doing offensively, plus Russell, Towns returning, more for Culver, Okogie. There are so many things. And does he even remain on this team? Like, he's a restricted free agent. Do they pay him? I think they do. But I think that this little run here might be almost best case scenario for Malik Beasley. Let's go on to the next player, and that is Keelan Martin, who again was an undrafted player last season, but I thought he's had some okay moments so far this year. Nothing overly spectacular, but he's held his own when he's had to have those opportunities. He's been okay defensively. He's had a few moments offensively. He's the 330th ranked fantasy player, averaging 6 points per game and shooting 39%. But he's 97% from the free throw line. I believe he's only missed one or two shots all season. But no assists, no steals, no blocks. I think this is a little bit of a situation where this is a shit team who's had banged up injury scenarios and trades and turning over their whole roster and got more of a role than he really should have been expected to get. Therefore, I don't really think that Keelan Martin is a player that we really want to look at as a long-term, hey, can this guy be a starting caliber player on a good team and ever be a 30-minute a night guy? I don't really think we're getting that out of him. In his G League time this season, he's averaged 18 points. But again, what else is he doing? Under two assists, 38% from three, pretty good volume. Like, that's impressive there. But nothing really screams out, this is a guy that we need to put faith in as we move forward. I think Jalen Nowell is a more interesting player long term. I thought he's been okay during his time that we've seen him on the court. It's limited, 15 games, 10 minutes, shooting only 36% from the field and 12% from three. But I think that he's shown enough in terms of flashes for me to go, I think he can work into being a rotation player. I don't know when that'll be. He's only 6'5". And again, it's the Okogie, Culver, Beasley, Russell, McLaughlin combination in those guard spots that where the hell does he fit in? But he's averaging 21 points and importantly, 3.5 assists per game in the G League. He's hitting 44% of his threes on 7 attempts per game. He's giving you 5 rebounds a game, 0.7 blocks. Like, these are all encouraging numbers for Noel. And I think that at least when we look at him in terms of comparing him with, say, a Keelan Martin, I think there is some significant upside in him and a guy that probably never is able to push into being a top 100 player. But could he sneak into the top 150 or top 170, even in like a 25-minute a night role? I don't think it's crazy. Could he develop into a Norman Powell type player? I wouldn't put that past him, to be honest. I think there is something in that with Jalen Nowell, not just because Nowell and Powell look very similar when written down. Let's look at Jared Vanderbilt, a player who we just really haven't seen at all over the first couple of seasons. in his NBA career, playing with Denver and then traded to Minnesota. I don't even know has he played any time for Minnesota this season? I know the answer to that is barely. He hasn't played any meaningful minutes, more to the point. But a player with like insane rebounding ability, just it's the shot is the concern. Let's have a look. He's played 5 minutes for the Timberwolves this season. He's averaged 1.3 points across his entire NBA career. But there is still some upside in terms of forward projecting systems, in terms of what he can do. A lot of that's because of how good of a rebounder he is. But there is something to look at with Jared Vanderbilt and think that he can be a player. But the problem I have here is that the opportunity is there for this team at the moment. They traded away Covington. They have Towns injured, and he can't even really push in and be a guy in this rotation to get regular minutes, unfortunately for him. Now, if we look at what he's done in the G League across a couple of seasons, he only played 24 games. 25 minutes a night, 13 points, but 10 boards, 1.4 steals and a block, but 29% shooting is rough, 56 from the free throw line is rough. The physical talents are there for Vanderbilt. Injuries have been a concern, but I just think there are too many downsides to his game to really put too much faith in him. The last guy is interesting, and that's Juancho Hernangómez, who of course has come across to Minnesota and is now their starting power forward. He has had some moments, and a lot of people got really hyped about adding him in fantasy. But when we look at it, he's the 346th ranked player this season. Now, yes, a lot of that is because he's averaging just 17 minutes a game due to his stuff in Denver. And if we have a look at what he's done in terms of his games in Minnesota, where he's played 29 minutes a game, he's averaging 13 points. He's averaging 7 rebounds. He's got a steal per game. He's hitting still only 61% of his free throws, but 42% on three, and that is a big, big come up from the 25% he was hitting in Denver. His overall field goal percentage has jumped up, but still the concerns remain. Lack of blocks, lack of steals, no assists, low usage player, and still no Towns. Still no limited Russell. So the same sort of things that happened with Malik Beasley, they're going to apply for Hernangómez, who can still play out there. But do his minuscule usage, does that even stick? You know, 16% usage, I believe he's got as a member of the Wolves. Actually, should get that number in front of me. 17% usage for the Wolves. He's like a 14% guy normally. So those 13 points in 29 minutes, they go to 11 points. They go to 10 points. And then what the hell is he doing? His PIPM is also pretty rough in Minnesota. It hasn't been good at all, despite some positive play. Defensively, that's been the struggle. Negative 1.24 on defense, negative 0.66 overall. His on-off stuff is pretty rough, negative 4.4 overall. Now, again, no Towns is a big factor. Your best player is missing. So that unit you're on is going to struggle. And it doesn't help that the player behind him, James Johnson, is outplaying him a lot of this time. And that's skewing those on-off numbers. Not skewing them, they're putting him directly in his favor. Although Johnson's still a negative 6.7 for the Wolves anyway, in terms of like adjusted on-off numbers. So I think it is, he's a little bit like Beasley, where I like him. I think he can be a really good player, but we just haven't seen it at all through his career. So what the hell does he do that's good for fantasy? Low steals, low blocks, no assists, iffy percentages, low usage, rebound, okay, he's a pretty good rebounder. But when you're playing next to Towns, like, is that going to be something you're good at? Or are you going to get big numbers at? I have my doubts there with Juancho. So while I think he can be a player they decide, hey, we want to go in and start him at 30 minutes a night, that doesn't necessarily even make him a top 100 player or even a top 150 player, I don't believe. I think, well, as a starter so far in the 14 games, compared to other starters, that's 203rd. That's not good. Yeah, that's not a good number, averaging 13 and 7. Like, they're fine, but bad free throws, low steals, low blocks, low assists, hitting threes at a good rate, which is probably going to come down as well. I think there is some, again, bit of fool's goldish, or this is maybe peak value for Juancho, and I think it will probably drop off. That will do it for me today, talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. And after you finish listening to this episode, go tell your smart device to play today's episode of Rejecting the Screen. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble, Instagram Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.